Joining me now on the September edition of Our Town are the presidents of the board of directors of Western Lane Ambulance District, SIUSA Valley Fire and Rescue. We have Rick Yesney and Ron Green. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
Good day. Nice to see you.
How are you doing, George?
Now, we had a meeting last week of the joint boards to talk about, well, several things, the IGA, you know, some financial issues that came up here. Let's kind of go back to that and kind of see where we're at. I think that having listened to the meeting and having been present in the meeting, I think it was obvious that some misconceptions and some misinformation was maybe put out early or maybe shouldn't have gone out while things were still being looked through. Kind of take me through that process.
You bet. Well, I would say the staff's responsibility is to be as transparent as possible to both with the board of directors and the public. And so over the course of the last 12 months, the staff of SIUSA Valley and also the same admin staff runs the administrative side of the ambulance district have been looking at the books to make sure that there is a lot of inaccuracies potentially being corrected. And so they felt transparent to disclose that there may be an operating shortfall at the fire district. And so whether the timing was right or not, that was what was said because that's what they believed to be accurate. The fire district and the ambulance district have engaged the outside support of a CPA to provide some assistance in cleaning up the books and establishing a more concise chart of accounts, and really have discovered that, you know, we believe, based on the information we have today, which is just that information, that we have a better situation than we believe we had a week ago with respect to the fund balance to start the fiscal year. So it's a much better situation than it was.
Now, earlier in the day on Thursday, Western Lane Ambulance had an individual meeting before right. The joint IGA. Mm-hmm. Was that pretty much kind of what was going through there, or were there other operational issues you guys were discussing?
No, mostly it was a financial update for the board because we share the administrative staff, which is part of the intergovernmental agreement that I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit. And the ambulance district books and records were also under review. And correction, and we were able to report to our board that we were about right on where we thought we'd be with the budget. We have enough cash to get us through the shortfall period where we don't collect tax revenues till the end of November. And I believe the fire and rescue, you're pretty much a totally tax-supported entity. I mean, that's your
correct.
Revenue source.
Yeah. Outside of a few grants, but yes.
Yeah. And the ambulance side, we do charge for services as well. So there is a 12-month income stream for the ambulance district side, and there was enough cash carryover to get us through that first 5 months where we don't have any tax receipts. So we were about right on budget. That was part of the meeting, was to assure the board members that we had a financial statement that we could rely on and that we were okay coming into the year.
Now, just one more thing. We'll put this one to rest.
Yeah.
But basically, the way I understood it, and correct me if I misunderstood that, is that basically we were waiting on money from the state and the government on conflagrations and things like that, and that was sort of the missing piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, that's correct. It booked as an account receivable, so money's due from someone for services provided. We didn't, again, some of the accounting errors, they didn't have the account receivable entered into the accounting system. So when they reported to the board the cash position of the district, the receivable due to the district is part of that fund, and that was the missing piece. So when they got the accounting straightened out and we understood what the chart of accounts looked like and had accounts receivable entered, we actually realized that the projected fund balance for the start of this fiscal year was originally budgeted at $650. It was close to $200,000 greater than that. So we're ahead. And so we actually performed quite well to last year's budget and have a better position to start this year.
So as a member of the community, I go, whew. It's always good to hear.
Yeah. Now, certainly because of what Rick just said is accurate, we collect taxes at the end of the year. So there's a timing of cash flows. You know, we have to operate. We have personnel. We have overhead that the district has every single month to operate. And we don't have the revenue stream that will fund the whole year. So it's possible the district may dip into a line of credit, but it's essentially to borrow money that will be repaid from the collection of tax revenue. It's not a shortfall. It's just a timing issue.
Right. And everything is budgeted out. I mean, we know based on home sales, home values and all that, how much money is going to be coming in. So you pretty much do your best to operate within that budget. bar a natural disaster or something like
that. Oh, of course. Yeah. No, it's a budget that's set every year and with basic public fund accounting. It's the source of revenue and the expenses of the operation have to balance. So,
and again, one thing I think I heard both boards say is that, you know, this was coming from a place of hardworking people doing a very difficult job.
No question. Yeah. We have great staff, and they've worked extremely hard. And our new office manager who came in a few months ago was kind of put into a position of, oh, by the way, we're kind of cleaning up this accounting, and you're in charge of that. Good luck. And she's done a great job.
All right. So let's switch gears a little bit now. You know, last couple weeks ago, Chief Langborg said, you know, I'm going to be moving on. And so now we're in a situation where the IGA is 2.5 to 3 years old now, or 2 years old, somewhere right.
That's about right.
It's about two. Yeah.
So you're in a position now of kind of looking at it and saying, okay, what next? What is sort of the thought now as we're looking forward?
So maybe part of it, too, I ought to tell everybody that IGA stands for Intergovernmental Agreement between the two districts. And it's largely it's a lot of it's administrative in nature, where we've combined accounting and office staff. And the chief is also the director for the ambulance facility. So the idea is to really integrate and reach an economy of scale on both people and purchases that will allow us to be more cost effective in that department and use our resources for services in the community. So we've combined the staffs, in effect, on the administrative staff side.
Now, I don't know if I heard this correct or something, but there was also some thought at some point of maybe consolidating some of the actual physical addresses of places. Is that something that's come up? Or?
Well, really, we've done a little bit of that. So mm-hmm. the administrative staff that's over at the ambulance district on the hospital campus, those folks have now, you know, that position or positions have moved over to the fire station now. And that actually has allowed us to do some things to the old ambulance district building. For as the staff has gotten bigger, we need more sleeping quarters, things like that. We've been able to use the existing facility for that while combining the staff over at the fire district.
And also there's you have the one firehouse down within the tsunami district down there talking about maybe possibly moving that. Is that something that's in the future or combining that with something else?
Well, I think that the long-range strategic plan of the district would discuss that. That isn't something in the coming fiscal year, but you bet. I think as we grow and look at the economic and operating life of any facility, and particularly if it's in a tsunami zone, we might evaluate that in the future, yes.
So you've formed a committee of four members, I believe it is, two mm-hmm. from Western Lane, two from Sayasa Valley Fire and Rescue, to look at the IGA and look at – you're also looking at the possibility of vetting a new person to head this?
I might – you know, Rick chairs that committee. I'll maybe ask Rick to address that. Do you mind?
Yes, sure. So we have, as you mentioned, the two members from each board. And what we did at the last meeting was both boards adopted a charter for that committee that's kind of a direction. And we came forward from our committee with, this is what we think our job is. This is what we think we should be doing. Part of that was to note that it is just a working committee. It has no authority to bind either board. So we measure and make recommendations. We will be tasked with defining the chief director's job description. As Ron mentioned earlier, if something should happen and the IGA needs to be terminated, we will have an exit plan that we will put together. And most of all, we'll be also measuring the effectiveness of the IGA. We'll come up with measures, and we haven't met fully on that yet and vetted it out, but really around financial measures, operating measures, such as quality of the services that we provide, and hopefully some way to measure the actual how the community perceives us, how our customers feel about us, being the taxpayers.
So well, I'm sure if you get to the fire on time and you get to the accident on time,
right.
I think the
customers
will be pretty happy.
They're happy with
that.
The service, yeah.
Have you had a chance to look, even though it's only a couple years old, I mean, one of the reasons for doing this in the first place was to possibly decrease the amount of budget needs for that. Has that panned out the way you had hoped?
That really has not been measured yet. And we're relative, Ron and I are relatively new, but some of the things I've heard from some of the other members is if you go back pre-IGA days, maybe 4 years ago, and look at it today, part of the problem is there's no baseline. It's not comparable. The districts aren't what they once were. So the costs aren't what they once mm-hmm. were.
So the constant change requires monitoring.
We may be starting with a baseline of when we started the IGA a couple of years ago and start measuring forward and see if we mm-hmm. reach some efficiencies.
Yeah, I guess because, you know, nothing ever stays the same.
No.
The costs go up and there's nothing you can do to control that really.
Right.
Yeah. So this committee, is there a timeline? Obviously, I think the chief is leaving end of October.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So is this – How often are you guys meeting?
We've set in the charter that we'll meet at least quarterly, and then our idea is that the boards would meet jointly also once a quarter, and we could report kind of our observations and recommendations at that joint meeting. So we'll have another meeting here again probably this month with respect to the succession planning for the chief director position.
And there's also the possibility of maybe appointing an interim person, and you're working with an Oregon group to kind of look at that possibility.
Yeah, the Special Districts Association of Oregon, as we were actually very well defined by our citizen insurance expert here, is an insurance trust, but they are made up of municipalities and other public taxing groups that provide counsel and insight, and they help with every operational aspect. And so there is an individual within the SDAO, Special Districts Association of Oregon, who comes with a fire background. And so we've engaged him to help us identify and appoint an interim chief director. And then that will give this committee ample time to really vet through, does this job description need to be revised, or maybe it doesn't, and have a very thoughtful time to search out the right candidate and not be feel like we're rushing into it. Chief Langborg, by his contract, is only required to give 30 days notice. He gave us 60, so we appreciate that. But we don't want to feel like we have to rush into hiring someone just because he's gone. So having an interim position will allow us to be more thoughtful and to be operating in the best interest of our taxpayers and the citizens.
Well, as an outsider looking in, it seems like to me, in the interim, though, you have Jim Dickerson on one side, you have Matt House on the other yeah. side mm-hmm. that are totally capable of handling the situation as it is. So it's more about, you know, making the IGA work under the IGA guidelines. Is that accurate?
Our committee hasn't really met yet, but I would say we've talked, and I would say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
You know, we think we need somebody who can be an administrator type with the administrative staff.
With fire and ambulance background.
It would be nice to have that.
It'd be nice, yeah. I would say
you're right on, too, with Matt and Jim are just really good at what they do on both sides. And the operations, so we feel really good that operations will continue in really good hands. So want to continue getting the books in shape and get the financial.
Yeah. You know, the chief director takes on the role of really the CEO, and so is the public figurehead, takes a lot of the political fires of the heat that comes on. But
what's a pun? Wait a minute.
Well, yeah.
I didn't even realize
put
that.
The wet stuff on the red stuff, as they would say. Yeah. And so that we do need, you know, we do need a chief, obviously. And so even someone in the interim could run the administrative side that is IGA related, but is also the public figurehead. And as you've already stated, you know, Matt House and Jim Dickerson have done a fantastic job operating at the day-to-day operational level of both districts. But we need an administrative leader.
All right. Is there anything else that needs to be cleared up? Any misconceptions or anything that might have come out in recent days that you feel like you need to address? Or is that pretty much covered?
I think that covers it in my mind.
Yeah. I would say that the chief director, Langborg, has done a very good job of being politically correct and trying to not take a lot of distractions. But the staff, you know, led by Jim, but by the other staff, have been working very hard. And this is not the idea of the accounting issues that need to be cleaned up. Is not a new issue that is being managed. And so they've done a great job, you know, seeking out resources to help them where there's kind of knowledge deficiency over the course of the year. So it wasn't a perfect scenario and were mistakes made certainly over the course of probably multiple years. But I'm really pleased with that they've engaged outside help and we have someone who's helped us get to the point where we know where we are as of today, which should be then as we're kind of future guys, we want to look forward. Now we have a place to start from. We know we can go forward from that.
Right. Also. Now, the insurance guy that was there the other night, John Murphy was talking.
Right.
He had kind of thrown a thing out there, and it wasn't voted on. It wasn't made a part of the meeting per se. But he suggested that someone like Kathy Taylor, who is a retired CPA, might be a good person to initiate conversations with about the dual budgets that are coming up. Is that something that is a feasible thing within the budget constrictions?
Well, it is, and we've actually already agreed to have her on a consulting basis work with our current office manager on a quarterly basis. As we go forward, I will say that to have a single office manager be responsible to facilitate two budget processes individually, you know, it was tough for her to walk into this. So at a minimum, having the assistance of Kathy throughout the course of the year and with the budget process, she is an experienced public CFO as far as public entity CFO and CPA. So we think, yes, she'll help us with the budget and all the quarters leading up to that.
Well, it's easy to appreciate a picture hanging on the wall. But when the artist is painting it, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't get the full picture. So like in this process of putting the budget together, cleaning up all the old stuff, you know, one person doing it will probably be a lot easier once it's all
painted
on the wall.
Right.
Yes. No question.
Yeah.
Yeah. We agree.
All right. Well, thank you both for coming in today.
Thanks,
I appreciate
it. George.
I love getting informed. I love educating myself and others on stuff that's going on. And I'm glad to know we're looking pretty good. I mean, you know, like I said, we can't guarantee anything because tomorrow's another day, but right now. So thank you both, Rick Yesney and Ron Green. Thank you much for being here today.
Thank you, George.
And coming up next after the break, we're going to talk with Kirk Malenik and Rachel Pearson about the Winter Music Festival here on Our Town.